This podcast is brought to you by the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts. Hey everyone, my name is Melissa Science. I'm here today to start our third quarter podcast segment on exempt organizations. For this segment, I have Stephanie Medock with Tax Policy, who specializes in exempt organizations. Hey Steph, thank you for being here today.
Hey Melissa, and thank you for having me. You know I love to volunteer, and you know I love nonprofit organizations, so I'm really excited to visit with you today about exempt organizations.
And we're lucky to have you today. A common question that comes into the agency is, how do I start a nonprofit? Would you say the comptroller's office is the first step?
No, the comptroller's office is not the first step. And let me give you a general guideline of what needs to be done. But keep in mind, Melissa, this information is not a substitute for any type of legal advice. This is just information.
I understand, Steph.
Okay. So to be a nonprofit organization, you have to be an organization. You have to have some kind of formation, something like a governing document, which could be constitution, bylaws. Some nonprofit organizations file their information with the Texas Secretary of State's office. But all of this is done before the nonprofit organization can come to the comptroller's office for exemption. It must be an entity, not just a loosely knit group of people.
So, Steph, you're saying you and I, we're kind of a group of individuals, loosely knit, so we wouldn't qualify.
That's correct. We don't have a governing document. No, not at all.
Let's say I go to the Secretary of State and register my nonprofit. Am I good at that point? Am I exempt from Texas taxes?
No, that's a great first step. But the nonprofit organization you've just formed is not automatically exempt from Texas taxes. It would need to apply for exemption. Exemptions such as limited sales tax, franchise tax if the organization has filed their paperwork with the Secretary of State, and possibly hotel occupancy tax exemption.
All right, so I wouldn't be automatically exempt. Where would I apply for a Texas tax exemption?
So for those Texas taxes that we talked about, the organization would apply with the Texas Comptroller's Office. That's our agency. The state tax exemption is not automatic just because you're a nonprofit. And like I said, you would need to apply with us. We have an application, and then we'll let you know the required documentation you should send in. But keep in mind, sometimes we might need additional information, and we'll write you and let you know what we need. Or if we exempt the organization, we'll send you an exemption letter stating the taxes that you're exempted from.
Great, Steph. Once an organization is verified and approved for a state exemption, at any time do they need to come back to the comptroller's office to provide additional verification?
Well, it depends on what you mean by verification. But if for some reason the comptroller's office has reason to believe that the organization no longer qualifies for the exemption that we granted, we'll write to them and ask for the organization to provide additional information. So yes, basically, once we've granted the exemption, it's good to go. The nonprofit organization doesn't have to renew it with us annually or anything like that.
Great. Thanks, Steph. You know, I always get questions about entities who have lost their federal exemption. Does that affect their state exemption?
Oh, it sure could. If the reason that we granted a state tax exemption to a nonprofit organization is based on it having the federal income tax exemption, then sure. There's definitely communication between the Internal Revenue Service and the Comptroller's Office. And the IRS might tell us an entity has lost its federal income tax exemption. So we will find out, or could find out, but that doesn't mean that the organization shouldn't tell us. If an organization loses its federal exemption, or it's changed from one section of the code to another for some reason, they really need to let us know as soon as they can.
Sooner rather than later, right, Steph?
That's right, because it could affect the reports they have to file or possibly their tax-exempt status.
That's so true. Well, speaking of applications, What types are there?
Well, there are exemption applications for nonprofit organizations that are religious. There's a separate application for charitable organizations, different application for educational organizations, and then there's an application for organizations that have the 501c from the IRS.
Steph, do you mind going through each type of exemption? I know you talked about religious, charitable, and educational. I just want to know, you know, more information. Let's start with, let's say, religious.
Sure. Religious is a definite definition. Religious organizations are basically what you think of. It's a group of people who meet regularly at the same location, primarily to sponsor and hold religious worship services according to the rites of their belief.
Okay, so you mean like a congregation, right?
That's correct. A congregation of a church, synagogue, or a temple may qualify. But a family church, one that's just made up of a handful of individual family members, would not qualify. An association of ministers or an evangelistic association won't qualify either, even though there is some religious aspect to the nonprofit entity.
Wow, that's really good to know. What about charitable organizations?
Just like with the religious organizations, charitable has a specific definition for their exemption. And basically, it's an organization, a nonprofit organization, that devotes all or substantially all of its activities to easing poverty, disease, pain, suffering, by giving food, drugs, medical treatment, shelter, clothing, or psychological counseling directly to the needy or to the poor for little or no fee.
Now, that's a definite definition. Steph, can you give me some examples on that?
Well, a good example would be a homeless shelter or a nonprofit soup kitchen. Those two types of nonprofit organizations could qualify, but a service league or a medical association would not qualify under the charitable definition.
Great, Steph. A lot of that was actually surprising, especially the part about easing poverty, disease, pain, and suffering by giving food, drugs, medical treatment, shelter, clothing, or psychological counseling. I had no idea about that. That's really good to know.
It is good to know.
All right. So what about educational organizations?
Again, another specific definition. And this one is pretty much what you think of. It's kind of a school devoted solely to a method of teaching, particularly in the commonly accepted arts, sciences, and vocations. And it has a regular or particular course of study, such like a school, college. It's got a faculty, enrolled students attending at a place where these educational activities are regularly held.
All right, Steph, now you already know what I want. I need an example.
Okay, I'll give you an example, and it's pretty easy. So a nonprofit private elementary school would qualify. A nonprofit private high school could qualify. But a tutoring center or a daycare center will not qualify under the educational exemption.
Well, you know, now I'm surprised at the examples you gave me. I heard you say nonprofit private schools, but I didn't hear anything about a Texas public school, like an independent school district. So are they exempt?
These Texas public schools, the independent school districts, they're automatically exempted by Texas law. So they don't have to apply for exemption with the controller's office for exemption. They're automatically exempt.
All right, great stuff. Now, what about 501c's? I know you mentioned it earlier.
Sure. There are all sorts of federal exemptions from the IRS. You know, the 501c's, everybody calls them. But for state sales tax purposes, and let's just talk about that right now, a nonprofit organization that has applied for and received the federal income tax exemption under 501c3, 4, 8, 10, or 19 can qualify for exemption from the payment of sales tax on their purchases. And this is really nice because, you know, we just talked about the religious, charitable, and educational organizations and their specific definitions. So if you have a really good nonprofit organization that has broad activities, if it has one of these five federal exemptions I just listed, they too can qualify for exemption from the payment of sales tax on their purchases.
Great stuff. Now, once an entity is exempt from paying tax, does that mean they are also exempt from collecting sales tax?
Actually, no. Those are two different things. Being exempted from paying tax on the purchases is totally different than collecting tax on sales. Nonprofit organizations and even the nonprofit exempt organizations pretty much are treated like any other seller, any other business that makes sales of taxable items. So generally, these nonprofit and exempt organizations have to get a sales tax permit and collect sales tax and remit it to the state just like any other seller.
Wow, that's really good to know. I always had this misconception that if a qualified organization is exempt from paying certain taxes, they must be exempt from collecting.
Well, Melissa, look at it this way. When a nonprofit organization is selling things and they're collecting tax, the tax is coming out of the purchaser's pocket. It's not hurting the exempt organization. It's not coming out of the exempt organization's pocket.
So that brings up a new question, Steph. If an organization is exempt from paying sales tax, what do they need to provide when making purchases?
I love it. Keep the questions coming. So say we've exempted a nonprofit organization from paying sales tax on the items that further the exempt purpose. They would issue to the seller our form 01-339. And it's the back side of the form, and it's the Texas Sales and Use Tax Exemption Certification. So nonprofit organizations that we've exempted from paying sales tax on their purchases should complete this form and give it to the seller. Now, the seller should only accept the exemption certificate and not collect the tax if he can accept it in good faith.
Thanks, Steph. That's really good to know. Now, what happens if an organization doesn't have Form 01-339? Can an exempt organization provide their exemption letter that we provide them?
No, the letter of exemption is not enough. They can give the letter, but they have to give an exemption certificate, that Form 01-339. And that form is so easy to get. You can get it off of the controller's website. We have a rule on exemption certificates. It's Sales Tax Rule 3.287, and it talks about all the information that has to be on the exemption certificate. Now, it's important to note the exemption certificate does not require a number to be valid. Sales and use tax exemption numbers or tax exempt numbers do not exist in Texas.
Got it, Steph. Thank you so much for setting up the foundation for the rest of our third quarter podcast segments. To our listeners, remember, for more information, go to our website, comptroller.texas.gov. Next week, we will be covering religious organizations, so don't miss out. Y'all have a great day.